Good morning. Good morning. Let's just take a minute to talk to the person next to you and exchange some ideas what this film was about, if you can figure it out. It ties in with the message, so just take a minute. What's a blessing to be able to deliver the message this morning. Pastor Rich is away with Susie, and my name is Jonathan Fung. Today is the first Sunday of Advent, 4 weeks leading up to Christmas, and we have our first candle lit here. This film that you saw was made by a former student of mine at the Academy of Art called Advent, which means coming. In Latin, it means the word is Adventus. And so, as you watch in the film, one of the young men was looking up in the sky, in the heavens, and he was waiting. The other two didn't believe, but then they saw the coming of the Lord. And it's an abstract type of film, but it's a film that I think proposes a question to each one of us. Are we waiting for the Lord? Are we preparing in expectancy for the coming of the Lord, of the Holy Spirit in this church? Are we preparing our hearts for Christmas within the next month? And as I was preparing for this message, Pastor Rich asked me to speak a couple weeks ago. I was just meditating and just, you know, going through a process how I usually do when I'm asked to speak. And I just have to let things settle and let things kind of sink in. Go to the Word. Be in constant prayer. Praying without ceasing and having that conversation with the Lord, meditating on just doing a heart check, an attitude check on myself, and just going through these steps that works for me, just like an athlete prepares for a race or for a game. And we were away in Birmingham, Alabama for the last week for Thanksgiving. And it was great to be there visiting family, but because there's not that much to do in Birmingham, I was able to catch up on my sleep. I slept 11 hours a day versus the normal 5, and just really rest in the Lord and rest with my family. And so today, you know, I was asking God, okay, well, you know, how do I bring this message together? Because we all understand kind of what waiting is, and that waiting is difficult. The Old Testament really emphasized the daily walk and waiting for God's providential care, for God to move through their daily circumstances. The New Testament emphasizes the return of the Lord. And our sermon series, which is the new Advent, this morning we're going to be talking about what does it mean to wait on the Lord? I mean, we have beautiful new carpet. But more significantly, underneath this carpet is a foundation that we've built. We've confessed. We've devoted. We've rededicated with words from our heart. In other words, we've consecrated like those did in the Old Testament before they came to the Lord. Now, let me ask you a question. The words that you wrote on the cement under this carpet, were they words that came from your heart? Or were they just meaningless words? Because in order to build a strong foundation as a church, we have to come together. I mean, Pastor Rich has been talking, Sharon has been praying and leading us through worship about our church coming together. And what does that mean to each one of us? If you could really imagine, what would you imagine this church to be like? I mean, we all must have hopes and dreams and expectations for this church. But as you know, church is not a building. Church is not about this renovation. Church is us, the people. It takes more than a pastor to launch a vision, to create a movement, to create a revolutionary, to create an awakening, an encounter with God. A pastor only has one, just several gifts. But the church, we have all the gifts that God has given us freely to fulfill his vision, to fulfill his dream for this place. It takes all of us, just like on a team, just like in a club, just like on a film set, in a company, that every person is equal, that every person has a voice, that every person has gifts and talents that need to be used. It's easy, I think, to be caught up thinking of the church maybe in an old school kind of format with top-down leadership where one person decides everything. Those days of church are gone. It's a combination of leadership that is hearing from the Lord through constant prayer, through seeking God's face. But it's about us, the congregation, that takes responsibility and takes ownership for our faith. When I mention the church, it's not just this church, it's the church. There's one church, God's church, throughout the world. So as you start to process and take in what the Lord is putting in my heart, personalize it. Where are you in all of this? Where are you in your heart? How much do you care about our church, Santa Clara First Baptist Church? What kind of difference can you make? Now let's face it, we don't like to wait because it's difficult, because we like to take things in control in our own hands. Waiting requires patience, perseverance, humility, obedience, submission, words that don't resonate with the world, that don't resonate with society. But waiting is one of the exhortations in the Bible. We are called, we are instructed, we are commanded to wait. To wait on the Lord and to wait for the Lord. So when we think of waiting, what do we think of? What things do we think of when we have to wait? You know, because I think we're a society of instant gratification, we want things now, it's difficult. Waiting for a change, maybe, in a job situation can be difficult. Or waiting for a job, for an employment. Maybe waiting to retire. waiting for physical, spiritual, emotional needs. Maybe you're waiting for a boyfriend or girlfriend, or maybe a spouse. Maybe you're waiting for your child to grow up, for he or she to get a job, or maybe to move out of your house. Maybe you're waiting for a faster internet connection. It's just not fast enough. Your AT&T crashes like ours does all the time, and you got to boot back up and reconnect. I think we all wait in lines, traffic. Maybe you were out there in Black Friday shopping. We were at the airport, you know, waiting to check in, waiting through the security line, waiting on the plane, stopover in Nashville, another 5 hours to LAX, waiting another hour and a half to get on to fly into San Jose, waiting to get home, just constantly waiting. Maybe some of you are waiting to win the lottery. Or maybe you're waiting for something to happen in this church, that you have some figment in your imagination what this church should be like, but you're just sitting there, maybe not doing a whole lot about what you expect to happen. Maybe we need to be proactive. So I think we need to answer some questions about waiting so we can fully understand the depth of what waiting means. So, you know, what does it mean to wait? We're going to talk about that in a few minutes. I'm going to tie some scripture to that. Who and what are we waiting for? Can somebody tell me who are we waiting for? Christ. And what are we waiting for? For what? We're waiting for the rapture, but I mean, we have ways to live before that happens. So, I mean, what are we waiting for now? What have we been really preparing ourselves in this church for? Pardon me? Movement? Okay. I think we're waiting, right? Aren't we waiting? Aren't we waiting for the Holy Spirit to move in this church? How many of you want to see some change? Raise your hand. Now, if we are the church, are you looking for some change and you're looking to other people to change? Or are you looking for change in your own heart? And I think that's difficult. It's difficult because it's difficult to change. Sometimes it's difficult to accept change. Not everybody wants to hear the message that maybe God's wanting us to change. And he's empowering us to change. If we are the church and the voice of the church, and if all of you are raising, many of you are raising your hands for something to happen, I think it might start with us. You know, why should we wait? Well, we should wait because it's biblical to wait. Because the scripture of waiting is seen 28 times in the Bible. Either waiting on the Lord or waiting upon the Lord. So it's biblical to wait. In our world, in our culture, in our modern technological society, waiting, we don't want to wait because everything is quicker, faster, more immediate. But waiting is good. Even though you may be in the land of between, or you may be in the wilderness or the desert, there's a purpose and a point to waiting. How long do we wait? How long? Somebody, how long do we wait? As long as it takes. And I know some of you have been waiting for a long time, maybe months, years, for God to maybe give you your calling or your purpose or that job or something that will fulfill you. I know this church has been waiting for a movement, for a revival spirit for some time. My family and I, we've been members at this church for only 6.5 years. But we hear talks of people anticipating or expecting or really wanting the Holy Spirit to come through and maybe grow this church up with more people or move in a certain direction. That takes us. That takes teamwork. That takes unity. A community of people. Not voices of dissension or voices of gossip or complaining or even complacency. It's about us coming together. Waiting on the Lord and doing what we're called to do. So let's get to some scripture here. So if you want to turn to your Bibles, let's turn to Psalm 130, please. So Psalm 130, I'm going to just read verse 5 for now. I wait for the Lord. My soul does wait, and in his word do I hope. Well, the Old Testament meaning of waiting is the word kava. Kava means to bind together, perhaps by twisting strands, as in making a rope. Looking patiently, tarry or wait, and hope, expect, look eagerly. In this particular definition of kava, waiting and hope are both addressed. Kava is the most frequently used word of waiting in the Old Testament, but it also has a meaning in the scripture of hope. So we are to wait expectantly for the Lord to move in our own lives as well as in the lives of our community, our church. We're called to wait in hope, in expectance. In other words, waiting is fundamentally wrapped up with knowing, trusting, and believing in the Lord and in his promises. I'm going to say that one more time because I think we have to understand what the purpose is of waiting and why we wait. We wait because of the knowing, the trusting, and believing in the Lord and in his promises for us, for our lives, and for the vision, the mission of Santa Clara First Baptist Church. We have to connect to the prayers of the Lord and what he is seeing for this church, what he sees for our lives, not our own desires, not our own plans, not our own agendas, our own motives. God is a God of unconditional love, of selflessness. And we are made in his image. But at the same time, we are flawed. So waiting means anticipation, expectation, confident hope in something that will take place. Everybody say that with me, okay? Just repeat after me. Waiting means anticipation, expectation, confident hope in something that will take place? You know, and what is it that will take place? What are you expecting? What are you anticipating? What are you confidently hoping for in this church? I want you to just turn to the people around you. I want you to discuss it, because I don't think we spend enough time together as a church body to discuss what our dreams and our hopes and our plans for are for this church. So just take a couple minutes now and talk to each other. And maybe it might be difficult for you to articulate on the spot. I know my students at Santa Clara, I always put them on a spot, and I've realized that sometimes we have to process information. Maybe we don't know. Maybe it's in our heart, but we can't articulate what we're feeling. But I challenge you to go home. I challenge you to take it to the Lord and to pray. What is it that God is having you wait for in your life, in the life of this church? And if you don't have expectation or anticipation or this confidence, assurance of hope and faith, of trust, God can release that, and He can give that to you if that's something that is truly a desire of yours that's in your heart. So I'm going to read Psalm 135 through 8. Up on the screen was only verse 5. And the psalmist, he writes this with confidence. I wait for the Lord. My soul does wait. And in His word do I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than the watchman for the morning. Indeed, more than the watchman for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is loving kindness, and with Him is abundant redemption, and He will redeem Israel from all his iniquities. I mean, that's a prayer of expectance, of hope, of waiting for the Lord. Now, waiting also involves seeking the Lord, seeking God's face. In Lamentations 3:25. The scripture says, the Lord is good to those who wait for Him, to the person who seeks Him. We can seek the Lord through time in the Word, studying, seeking answers, and claiming God's promises. We can spend time in prayer, praying about issues, praying for wisdom, praying for discernment, praying for the needs of this church, praying for those that are sick. We can spend time meditating on who God is, what He is wanting to do in us, and what He is wanting to do through us, and on what we need to do by the way of answers, direction, guidance. I mean, included in this might be a need to examine and evaluate our own motives, our own attitudes, our values, our priorities, our goals, our objectives in our own lives. But there is a benefit of waiting on the Lord. And if you turn to Isaiah 40, verse 31, Scripture illustrates this very well. What the benefit? The benefit of waiting strengthens us and enables us. So those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. And we sang about this through worship this morning. that there is a promise, that God promises that those who wait will gain new strength. And right now, if you are weary, if you're about to faint, if you could barely walk, if your spirit is tired, you wait on the Lord. He promises to give you not just strength, new strength. And that would be emotional strength, physical, spiritual. He will stir you up. He will set you on fire for Him. There are three specific promises from this scripture. They will soar on wings like eagles. What that means is that He will help us rise above the problems of one's life, of our life, and through our relationship with the Lord by waiting on Him. They will run and not grow weary. God will give us strength to handle stressful situations. The tougher the situation, the more need we have to draw to Him. And they will walk and not faint. We still need to wait on the Lord. Even when we aren't stressed, even when things are going well, it's biblical. We need to continue to wait on Him all the time. As you know, we have a huge outreach event coming up, Bethlehem. And I think this is our sixth year helping with Bethlehem, and we came 2 years prior before we became members of this church. And Jerry asked me to help lead the outreach team, the prayer tent, and as well as gathering speakers to speak after each one of the performances. And so this is the third year that I've been asked to do this. I look forward to it because I see this whole Bethlehem experience as really a call to action. A call to action in our community to share the birth of Christ, the meaning of Christmas, through these amazing performances that are on our church ground. But I continue to ask the question after every Bethlehem, why is it that very few people visit our church after this amazing experience? And I don't know if you have the same thoughts or have had the same questions, but 17,000 people came last year. I know we didn't have 1,000 people come and visit, or maybe 100. I don't know what the numbers are. I know some people come because they have a church family already. They're bringing out-of-town guests. People like to get into the Christmas spirit. Our Bethlehem is very visual, very professional. So I don't have the answer to this question, but it's something that's been resonating and stirring in my heart. Why is Bethlehem done with such excellence and such wide participation of our church community? A couple things came to my mind. Are we praying enough for Bethlehem? We have workers that are generously donating their time to do a lot of physical labor to get this up and running. And I truly believe that we could do Bethlehem without God, probably. We could manufacture and fabricate the sets and do everything that has to be done and treat it like a performance. And I know many are praying, but how are we praying for Bethlehem? Maybe this year we need to shift our thinking. Maybe we need a new paradigm shift of how we pray for Bethlehem. You know, are we just wanting a lot of people to come to Bethlehem because it's fun to have a big crowd there? Are we expecting and anticipating the Holy Spirit to sweep through Bethlehem and to touch hearts and to touch lives? I look forward to the outreach team. It's a small group because I think it's difficult for people maybe to pray over other people or for some people to get up on stage to speak. But to me, that's the kind of the pivotal moment of Bethlehem is once they see the birth of Jesus and they hear this amazing singing, we have a speaker that comes out to share their story. People relate to our stories. People want to know why we love the Lord, why we follow Him. They know probably the birth of Jesus and they're entertained. But I tell you, when that speaker comes up on the stage, and if it's a Steve McClanahan that's talking about, hey, I just had prostate cancer surgery yesterday, but hey, I'm sharing my story with you. That's powerful. Or Karen Cerny tells about her giving up her baby boy for adoption, but is reunited 30 years later with him, and now is going to be a second grandmother soon. That's powerful. Or when Mike DePew and Dorothy share their story about losing their job and their home, they're frightened, but they're still clinging and loving the Lord. That's inspiring. Well, the other countless stories that I have the privilege of hearing and working with the speakers, that's amazing. And for me, I wait with anticipation who God is going to put in my heart to email. Hey, are you willing to speak this year? Are you willing to share your story about the meaning of Christmas so you can connect? God's going to connect you with somebody in that crowd, and they're going to come up and ask for prayer at the prayer tent. Maybe that's where we meet people, where they are. Maybe they need that heart of compassion. Maybe this year we need to be more conscious about our interaction with our guests. What does it mean? What does it look like to be an example for those in the marketplace? More than just being in character, yes, that's important. But what else can we do? Next Sunday, we're going to be praying as a church body, but is that enough? Just coming together once. I think it takes each one of us individually, maybe to pray in our life groups, maybe to pray with our families, maybe to pray on our own. Maybe we can start praying in anticipation that the Lord will do something different this year, that we will hear stories of love and compassion, that people will come back to this church because they will see that God is here. That God is here in this church. I want to show you this one clip from the Muppet movie. Okay. God bless the iPhone. I'm not selling this clip. But while I was watching the Muppet movie with my family, I thought, okay, the Holy Spirit prompted me, film this because it's going to be at the end of your message. And so I don't want to ruin the Muppet movie for you if you're planning to go. How many of you are Muppet fans? But let me just quickly parallel the Muppet movie to our church. The Muppet Theater is going to it has been closed for 12 years. But a fan named Walter loves the Muppets. And he had an opportunity to go out to California to the Muppet Theater. And he overheard that the Muppet Theater was going to be sold, and underneath the theater was oil. So this oil tycoon was going to mow over the Muppet Theater. So he goes to Kermit and pleads with Kermit, we need to save the theater. We need to raise $10 million. So Kermit was not really sure about this, but he finally decides to gather up his whole gang of Muppets. And not all of them wanted to come back and do one performance to raise money to save the theater. But nobody could replace them. And finally, all of them come together. They come together because of one fan, one believer in this community. And that one believer made a difference. And I'm not going to tell you if they saved the theater or not, but let's just watch this clip.
Listen, everybody. We've got nothing to be ashamed of. And you know why? Well, because thanks to Walter here, we tried. And if we failed together. And to me, that's not failing at all. And I don't care what anybody says. I don't care if no one believes in us, because I believe. I believe in you. And you. And you. You know, what's important isn't this building or a name. It's each other. So I say, fine, let's just start at the bottom and work our way back up to the top.
Yeah.
Let's all walk out through these doors with our heads held high. As a family. Because that's what we are.
Kermit, he tells each other that he believes in them. I want you to turn around to the person to your right and say, I believe in you. And turn to the person to the left and say, I believe in you. You know, I really admire Sharon, because she really loves this church. I mean, her heart breaks for this church through leading worship. And when we're going through devoting and confessing our sins and writing on the cement, I could see that God was doing a new thing in this church. And maybe you don't see it yet, but he is doing a new thing. He's doing a new thing in Sharon. He's doing a new thing in Pastor Rich. He's doing a new thing in some of us. And it's contagious. When we see God moving in other people, not doing more things, but just in their spirit, in their heart, in their expectancy. It's contagious. And that's how we start a movement. If we could bring up the next slide, I want us to think about this, and I want us to pray while Sharon plays some worship. But I want us to individually just pray for the Holy Spirit to move and bring change in our church, in us. I want us to pray, you know, what does that change look like? You know, what is God giving you that visual, that image of what does a change look like that you see? So let's just take a couple minutes here. First Thessalonians 5:16-19 says, always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. So Lord, we thank you. We thank you for moving this morning. We thank you for the anticipation that you've put in our hearts. You are doing a new thing at Santa Clara First Baptist Church. Some of us may see it, others may not. But Lord, reveal that to all of us. And as we come together, Lord, for Bethlehem, let this Bethlehem, Lord God, glorify you. Let this Bethlehem, Lord, reveal to the world that Jesus lives inside of us. Let this Bethlehem, Lord God, as we interact with people, show our example, our godly example, our spirit of hope, a spirit of love and compassion and excellence. Stir our hearts up, Father. And I pray, Lord, that you would just encourage us. It is difficult to wait. Intellectually, we understand what waiting means. We know it's biblical. We get it. But we're humans. And we like to take things in our own hands. So I pray that you would teach us, Holy Spirit, how to wait. How to wait with expectancy. How to engage and desire your word. How to pray without ceasing having that conversation with you throughout the day. And how to meditate and understand who you are. Who you are, what is your relevance and meaning in our lives. So Holy Spirit, just touch our hearts. Give us a vision for this church. Give us boldness to use our gifts and talents. Help us to put our own house in priority, to balance those things that you want so you could be in the center of our life. So we could feel the joy of the Lord in our hearts. So we could feel that purpose that you created us for. And Lord, I just thank you for this church. I do believe in each one of us that you have a great and mighty plan for us. Let us have a heart of worship, Lord, the entire day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.